Well, it is good to be here. I got all these cords hanging around. I got to do something with them. But I did wear my silver and blue suit. That is Confederate colors. Did you know that? And so I moved from a Hoosier to a Mississippian. And praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. But I have great memories here at Cross Life. Kids were dedicated to the Lord here at Cross Life. I accepted the call to preach here at Cross Life. I look at many of you here that had their life changed at Cross Life. McLean family, I remember them coming here out of a situation, and they give their life hope and to the Lord. And they've been faithful here. And there's new faces that I don't know. And that's always also a blessing too. But it is good to be here. Let me start out with this. One day there was a group of men, scientists got together, and they thought they figured life out. And they decided through a period of time that they can just make men. And so they went up to God and said, you know, we decided, God, that we don't no longer need you anymore. We can make people. We can clone people. So you might as well just get lost. We really don't need God anymore. So God listened very patiently to these scientists and was kind to the men. And the scientist was done talking. God says, well, what we'll have a man-making contest. And the scientist said, oh, yeah, that'd be really great. And God added this, now we're going to make men just like we did in the old days in Noah's time and Adam's time. And the scientist said, no problem. And so the scientist bent down and grabbed him some dirt up and started to roll it around. And God looked and said, no, no, son, that's my dirt. Did you get that? I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray. And Lord, we do ask for strength. And Lord, we ask for obedience to your call. Lord, help me to lose myself in your presence. And Lord, just release the burden of the word that we all may grow closer to you. The saved may be drawn to you. And Lord, that your presence will be felt here. Lord, just lead and guide and have your way. In Christ's name, we pray. Preacher one day was starting his sermon. He said, brothers and sisters, I hear you're coming today because you've had a long period of drought and you've decided to come to pray for rain. But there's a problem. Since you've come to pray for rain, he said, why didn't you bring your umbrellas? Now, did you get that? If you're going to pray for something and you're going to pray that God's going to deliver, you must put action to those things. So those believers didn't come with their umbrellas. They come praying for rain, but they didn't have umbrellas to carry that God was going to do a work. And so we want God to do a work this morning, but revival has to be prayed down. Amen? We can't work it up. We can't talk it up. It's got to be where the preacher is prepared, and it's got to be where the people are prepared. So we got to be prepared to know that God's going to deliver. Amen? And he is able to deliver. And do you want him to deliver? James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. And the title of the message this morning is Increase Our Faith, or you could just say Fresh Faith. And the apostles, they struggled with faith. They talked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They spoke with Jesus. They even got to touch Jesus and seen the miracles of Jesus. But they also said something here in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. I go pretty quickly, so you might want to just write this down. And the apostles said in the Lord, increase our faith. Several times in scriptures, the apostles struggled with faith. And they said, he would say, O ye of little faith. People are quick to forget what God, his promises, his plans. And so to begin with, we got to understand what faith is. And so in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And another place in Scripture, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so the substance of faith, if we look back to Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance. Now what is a substance? Our substance is the thought or belief. We got to say, well, what is a substance? Well, the Bible is the substance. But it's the Word of God. That's the substance. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? The substance is belief based on the, what is this? The tangible Word of God. Amen? Can you touch it? Can you feel it? If you have one, hold it up. Amen? Hold that Bible up. All right. Amen. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can read it. And through the Word of God, we accept salvation based on this Word. Salvation, then, is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was born in the flesh, born of a virgin, did not sin, performed miracles, died on the old rugged cross. His blood made atonement for all mankind, died in a cave there, rose victorious on the third day, and he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you excited this morning? And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's saving faith. If we repent and ask Jesus Christ in our hearts. Now, I said the word repent. And I'm glad that none of you went, oh, and was shocked at that. But that was a requirement. That we just don't believe in God, talk about God, think about the love of God, but what we have to do is repent. And that means turn 180 degrees and start following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the leader of our life. But we have to have that saving faith. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, you may not see it. Can you tell that I'm saved? Oh, yeah, he's a preacher. He's saved, right? That don't mean I'm a preacher, but I could be unsaved. Right? Amen. But something changed in my life where I wasn't living the same way that I was. And my ears became open to the Word of God where I could start to hear Him through His Word. And He would start to speak to me. Don't look at this thing hanging around. I don't know what to do with it. But anyway, He speak to us. And x-rays are a marvelous thing. But we could always lay on an x-ray table. Every one of us, and nobody can see if you're saved or not. Amen? It's a spiritual transaction that took place in your life. You can't see it, but you see the results of it. I don't talk the same way I used to. I don't act the same way I used to. My lifestyle has changed. Amen? Amen if you enjoy that. Amen. Amen. So, after that wonderful transaction has took place, of that saving faith that's gone on in our life, we must go on with our faith. It just doesn't stop there at salvation. We must go on living for Him. In Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. And over there in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What do you know? I ain't myself no more. I don't own myself anymore. After I got saved and that transaction took place, He owns me. He paid the price for me. So my thoughts should be His thoughts. His ways should be my ways. I owe Him my whole life. And I'm thankful for that wonderful salvation that He's given me. I don't take it for granted, which many has. So how do you go on glorifying God? First, you get the saving faith. And then you get the walk by faith or living by faith. And you do it in your job, at your school, in your family. Led by the Spirit of God. And being obedient to the Word. And we want to please God in all that we do. I don't live my life unto me anymore. Once that transition took place, I live my life to please the Lord. And the only way we can please the Lord is walk in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So our whole life now is to glorify Him in everything that we do and everything that we say and how that we live. He's looking for the faithful. Maybe you need some fresh faith this morning. Maybe you need a fresh start. Maybe you just need a fresh remembrance. In Romans 4:20, there's a faith of Abraham. Look what it says here. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he was able to do what he promised and to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, not that it was written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him for us also. Oh, wow. It means when God spoke to him, he didn't stagger around like he was a drunk man. He didn't lose his equilibrium. When God's word spoke to him, he followed God's word. Now, if you don't know Abraham, I'll give you just a brief summation of him. He was called the father of many nations. And God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees. And he had no Bible. He had no instruction that way. And he heard the word of God. Now, he wasn't a paranoid schizophrenic. He didn't have delusions of grandeur. Oh, I'm hearing the word of God. Am I going to follow it or not? He heard the word of God. He followed it. He left his place of comfort. He was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. And then later on, they had a son named Isaac, and natural birth was impossible. I don't want to go to that in detail. I might get embarrassed. But like I'm saying, it was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And they had a wonderful son named Isaac. His faith increased. God was powerful in his life. And you at this church, need your faith increased. Amen? The backslid need to come home. And you got to feed your faith. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Now, how do you feed your faith? Word of God. Prayer. Meditation. How you starve your doubts. Don't think about those things. Doubts are negative, not positive mindsets. You remember what Grandma used to tell us? Feed a cold, starve a fever. Starve a fever, feed a cold. Raise your hand if anybody said that to you before. Amen. Some of you are showing your age this morning. But anyway. Feed a cold. Starve a fever. And that's what you do when you're naturally sick. But what if you do if you're a little spiritual sick? Well, you're going through a desert. Maybe a dry spot in your physical, in your spiritual life. You don't feed the doubts. You feed the faith. James 1:8 says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We see the syndrome in America, don't we? Faith today, gone tomorrow. I believed a year ago, I don't believe now. Boy, the Lord worked a miracle last year in my life, and I got the blinders on. And something else happens in your life, and you still got your blinders on over here. Instead of looking what God can do over here. Same thing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Over there in Matthew 14. Once again, the apostles were going through a problem. They was walking with God, with Jesus. They talked to Jesus. They seen the Lord do many miracles. Feed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. Seen those things, witnessed those things. But here in Matthew 14:22, the Lord tells them to go somewhere. And straightway Jesus constrains his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, means it was violent. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Wow. Just like Jesus. To go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, once again, the topic, "O thou little faith, where did thou doubt?" So what do we see the situation? The winds were boisterous. You know, we got winds that hit our life every day. What kind of trials are you going through your life right now? What are you facing right now? Sometimes they get boisterous. They get big. And as the Bible says, they get contrary. Could be a financial problem. Could be a family issue. But what did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus. And that's when we start to doubt, and that's when we start to get confused in this world. If we take our eyes off Jesus, just for a little while, just for a second, that's enough to make you sink. Amen? And he said, "Oh Lord, help me." And what do we end up doing? We end up reaching up, and Jesus has to bring us up again. Stick with Jesus. In Matthew 16, 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it." I'm going to tell you, faith keeps us going up. Faith keeps us looking up. And faith keeps us lifted up. Amen? The church is not this building. We get so confused on that. The church is you. You are the body of Christ. And he said the gates of hell will not stand against you. I didn't say that. It wouldn't mean much if I said it. But Jesus Christ himself, he said it. Amen? He said it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, increase our faith this morning. Increase our faith. Let's go through a little history this morning. I'll try not to be long-winded on history, okay? Because some of you didn't do good in history and you go, "Oh no, history class." Daniel chapter 3. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember the nation of Israel had struggled, just kind of like America's struggling today. Nation of Israel said, "You know what? We're going to worship God on the Sabbath. And then after we worship God, we're going to go worship Baal." And they couldn't wait till church was out. They could not wait to go buy and sell. So their heart wasn't right with God. And what God did, he brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take captive the people of God. He had to bring them back to God. So he allowed this king and this heathenistic king named Nebuchadnezzar to come and sack Jerusalem and take all the Hebrew children. And take all the adults. Some were left there in kind of slavery conditions. But the wise men and the ones that had special knowledge, Nebuchadnezzar's advisors, took these men. And as we find out, they were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in Daniel chapter 1, there was a statue that was to be made. And you had the three Hebrew children, including Daniel, that would not bow down to the king. They would not bow down to heathenistic practices. But they were took into the kingdom because they were men of wisdom. And God blessed them. Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 90 foot tall, 9 foot wide. A huge statue that was made out of gold. And in verse 5 it says that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar set up. So we see idol worship. that was set up in that land. But there was a problem. You had three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't going to bow down to the king. And they wasn't going to bow down to an image made with hands. So, in verse 11, we're trying to skip for time. It said, whosoever falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And you know, you always have spies. And these were the spies. There were certain Jews whom have been cast over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they be brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sounds of these instruments and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now look at that. I'm going to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did king's service. The king liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because, you know, typically people don't get a second chance in a kingdom when you defile a king. And then they said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He asked them a question favorably. You know, if people are making you money in your kingdom, and people's making you money and giving you wise advice in your company or corporation, you don't necessarily want to kick them out, do you? Yes or no? No, you're still awake with me, all right. Now, look at their heart. Look at their mindset. And look at their faith. What does it say here? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver you up from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that thou wilt not serve the gods, nor worship the image which thou hast set up. Now, once you see that, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't go over there and say, hey, guys, come here. Come here over here. Amen. The king just made us a proposition. Now, let's go over here and talk about it. What do you think, Shadrach? What do you think, Amelia? Do you think we ought to give in to the king? Do you think we're not? What? All of them were in agreement before it started. We're not careful to answer thee. Our God can deliver us because we have faith in him. And if not, let the chips fall where they may. I'm going to tell you, you can go a long way and you can go all the way in your spiritual walk when you say, let God be God, I'm going to follow him in faith. Regardless. Amen? Regardless. And now, look what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. What does happen when a king is defiled? Moms, what happens to you when your kid says, no, I'm not doing it? Huh? What happens to you? Ryan, have you went through that experience lately? Okay. They get the wrath of Ryan, let's put it that way. Well, now we have somebody that's more powerful in a position than he is. Not to put him low, but just anyway. In verse 19 it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Now, how many of you look when you get full of fury? You don't look like you look right now, I guarantee that. This preacher, I'll tell you what. Anybody have something to quit on you? Like it's getting ready to rain, and you promise somebody you'd cut the grass. Well, I promise. I hate to break a promise. Raise your hand if you hate to break a promise. All right. Hate to break a promise. Well, I told this lady I'd cut her grass, and I got my other grass done. And it started to rain, and her grass was tall. And that lawnmower started. I said, "What's wrong with you? I got to get this grass done. I promised this lady." All of a sudden, it gave up. I tried all the techniques, you know. Eddie's dad, he used to say, "Take the carburetor off. Put some gas in there." I did all that kind of stuff. Didn't work. Started to rain. Got so mad. Took the lawnmower. Believe it or not, picked it up and slammed it against a tree. Now that's fury, okay? I'm letting you know what fury is. I slammed it against the tree. Mad. Anyway, so you're sitting there. You're a preacher and you did that. I can't believe it. But anyway, that's what happened. And then after I did it, Kyle, you can probably relate. You probably had some fury on the basketball court. But what happens is that I looked around, and I'm supposed to be a Christian. I just did that. Did anybody see me? I just kind of walked off the scene. But anyway, and had to apologize to the lady. But that's a part of fury. You wanted to get something done, and okay, has anybody threw something against the wall and broke it or anything because it didn't work? Raise your hand. I'm glad you're with me. So, you know about fury. You know how it bubbles up inside of you and you get... Well, when you get the king full of fury, you really got a problem. Now, as the story goes on, we find out... Now, remember, the subject is faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "We don't care what happens." And in the fury and his madness, the king said, "Well, we're just going to puff up that fiery furnace 7 times greater than it was before." And so they did it. And because of their faith, look what happened. They was bound. They was took in with some other soldiers. Verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and holden, and their hats and their garments, and were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot. And the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose in haste and spake and said unto his counselor, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the furnace of fire?" And they answered and said, "O king, that's true." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form is like the Son of God." Wow! Look what just happened. Because of their faith was being tested, they was standing against the odds. The men that was taking them in, because it was so hot, they fell down before they even got close to the fire. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the fire. And then old King Nebuchadnezzar, the heathen king, had an affirmation. He said, "What? There were 3 men, and now I see 1 like the Son of God." Who put those words in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth? That's totally amazing. "We put 3 in, but now I see 1 like unto the Son of God." These little 3 boys, 3 teenagers, was setting a faith standard for the kingdom. While they was in bondage, while they was taken away from their homeland, while they was taken away from the language that they knew, while they was taken away from the temple that they worshiped. But you know what? God don't necessarily exist in this temple made with hands. God is in this temple, and we take him wherever we go. Amen? Wow. Verse 26, "And then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the counselors gathered together. Being gathered together, they saw the men upon what? They had no smell of smoke on their clothes. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor a hair of their hair was singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire that passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels and delivered his servants and trusted him and have changed the word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then look at the king's decree here. He changes his old ideal. First it was worship my image. Bow down to the golden image. Now what does he say? Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver like that sort. Everything you're facing as an individual, everything you're facing as a church, I'm going to tell you, God can deliver you. You take God where you go. Amen? There's a song. God is able. God is able to deliver from the fire. He will rescue those who serve him when the flames are burning higher. God is able. God is able to deliver from the fire. He will rescue those who serve him when the flames are burning higher. I want you to sing it. Let's sing it. God is able. God is able to deliver from the fire. He will rescue those who serve him when the flames are burning higher. Amen. Amen. These stairs are wearing me out. Mine don't go up that high. But anyway, God is able. We got to go on with our faith. We have saving faith. Then we have living faith. Then we have experience in that faith. And sometimes we're going to go through some trials in our life. And mostly trials are just to make us stronger. I guarantee you the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a lot stronger, amen, when they went through that trial. So trials do make us stronger. But we got to go on with our faith. Let's look at somebody else in the Bible. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua took over from Moses, was leading the children of Israel, coming into the land of Jericho. Joshua sent out some spies into this foreign land. And we'll start there in chapter 2. But I want to just look at a faith of a harlot woman. She heard of the news that the God of Israel delivers, and heard what the God did and dried up the Red Sea, and heard what God did to the title kings of the Amorites. Because I want you to tell you something. When God does something in a people, in a nation, the word goes out. When God does something in your life, and you stand up for God through a trial or a problem, the word goes out. So here, we have Joshua coming in to take the land of Jericho. And the word has already got into the land of Jericho. It says in Joshua chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out to Shittim, the two spies, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rehab and lodged there. And it was told by the king of Jericho, saying, hey, there's two men that come hither in the night, the children of Israel, to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they become to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, and she hid them. She didn't do what the king wanted to do. Tell me where they are so we can kill them. She took him in. Took him under the roof. And look what she says in verse 9. She said, and she said unto the men, the two spies, I know that the Lord have given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants and the faint in the land because of you. For you have... We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two title, the king of the Amorites that were in the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, which you utter destroy. And as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in a man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is able. He's in heaven above and is in earth beneath. Wow. She witnessed the power of God through hearing it from another place. From the faith of this people, she was already believing in God Jehovah. She was willing to risk her life to hide these two spies in a roof. And these two spies said this, "Now therefore I pray, since you swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that you have saved my father alive and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that we have, and deliver our lives unto death." And the men answers, "Our life for yours." And they give him a requirement there in verse 10. And then she said, "Let them down by the cord through the window," for her house was upon a tall wall, "and dwelt there." So she let the men down, and behold, they said this in verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down, by which thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and all to the house." So she hid the spies. And she told the men that were coming to how they should go to another direction. Where did her faith rest? She heard these two spies say, "If you want to be delivered, hang a scarlet cord out the window that we came down and leave it there." Now, what would that mean to anybody? What would a scarlet rope mean to anybody hanging out of the window? You would say, "Hey man, this person dropped a rope out of the window and they need to pick it up." But that was all it was. It was a scarlet robe. I mean, scarlet thread or a rope. The military soldiers that were patrolling the area walked around. They said, "Boy, that's a strange thing. That lady's got a rope hanging out the window." They didn't give no heed to that rope. Didn't care about that rope. But I'm going to tell you, Rahab the harlot was looking at hope in that rope. The two spies said, "We won't destroy the city, the area that that rope's hanging down from that household, because the walls of Jericho is going to fall down. But whoever you can get in that house, where that window goes and that rope ends, they will be saved from destruction." Her hope and her faith was placed in the two men that made that promise. And she was looking to that rope and that thread for her salvation, for the redemption. Isn't that amazing? She had faith in what those two men said, looking at a small rope hanging from a window. Well, as you read the story, over there in Joshua, I think it's chapter 6. But Joshua had said unto the two men, "That thou hast spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out this the woman and all that she have, as he swore unto her. And the young woman, where the spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and all their brethren and their kindred, and left them without in the camp of Israel." Wow. She believed what the men said. She gathered all her family up. She said, "We're going to be saved. We're going to be delivered. I have the promise from these men of God that when destruction comes, if we look to the thread in the window and we're in that house, we'll be saved." And her faith was placed there. And I want to tell you one verse thing about Rahab the harlot. Did you know Rahab the harlot is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Boy, she got adopted in, didn't she? A heathenistic woman called a harlot. But through her faith and what she heard of the faithful men of Israel do, so there's no God like your God. And I place my faith in you, and I'm going through a trial. And my trial is that, you know what? I'm hiding you. And you know what? If I get caught, it's my life. But nonetheless, I believe in the God of Israel. You know what? God is not a respecter of persons at all. Amen? He's a respecter of faith. And to allow Rahab the harlot to have the part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ just amazes me. Because he's not a respecter of people's places, names, and titles. He's a respecter of people that has faith. And he'll honor faith. He rewards faith. Let's go a little farther. Look in Luke chapter 8. What about the woman? What about the woman at the well? Not the well, but had an issue of blood. Luke 8:43. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which she had spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed by any, came upon him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter then said unto him with him, "Master, the multitude thronged thee, and the pressed thee, and how knowest who would touch thee?" And Jesus said, "Someone have touched me, for I have perceived that virtue is gone out." Power has went out from Jesus. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people of the cause she had touched him, and how she immediately was healed. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Wow. But what happened there? She had an issue of blood 12 years. Nobody could help her. She said, "If I can face the crowd," she had the faith to try to push everybody away. You know, Jesus was popular at this time, so there was a great crowd around him. She did everything possible in the natural. And so she went to the supernatural. She went to Jesus. And she said, "I don't care what I got to do. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care who I have to move around. Even if I have to get on my knees and I have to drag myself to get to the hem of Jesus' garment." You know what? And she did. And she had to face the press. The press of the crowd is everybody around Jesus and moving everybody out of the way. And so when we have a trial of faith, you're going to be pressed. You're going to be squeezed. You're going to be shoved out of the way. But she kept her eyes on Jesus. She kept her eyes on the mark. And she touched the hem of his garment. And the virtue came out. And the power came out. Because she had the faith. If I could just touch Jesus, I could be made whole. Oh, wow. We got to press on in our faith. Man, we got a saving faith. We have a living faith. But we got to keep our faith going on. When I was in the aerospace company, and that was a crazy company to work for, we would have these, I don't know if you have them here now or they do that anymore, but ISO 9000 audits and different type of audits like that. And audits make you nervous. How many's went through an audit before? Anybody went audit? I don't like audits. Raise your hand if you like audits. And then someone says, "Here's an auditor." Yeah, I like audits. That's why I make my living. But, man, am I going to know the right stuff? Do I got my paperwork in order? And my company always sent me on challenges. Get Tim to fix it. Get Tim to look at it. And when you got people coming in from the outside, you don't know what they're going to ask. So I try to stay. I'm human. I'm staying out of my office. I'm going over here working on this project. And maybe when they come by, they'll just bypass my office. Now, we think of these things, don't we? Amen? We don't want to go through a trial. We don't want to be tested. Right? Amen? So, I'm human like everybody else. Then I get a phone call. Somebody, "We're in your office, and we'd like to talk." Oh, man. In my office. So, here I go in the office. And I noticed something. It was really a blessing. Anybody have any bracelets to say, "What would Jesus do?" Nobody has any. Well, this otter, he had a bracelet. Said, "What would Jesus do?" I said, "Well, that's already a plus." And then he came over and he said, "I noticed your Bible." He said, "I noticed your Bible over here. It looks like you read it a lot." I said, "Yeah." He wanted to talk about his faith. He wanted to talk about some things he was going through. He wanted to talk about our church. We talked about his church. And he said, well, everything looks fine. Let's go. I went, woo! And here, I'm sitting there doubting. Oh, man, I don't know if I've got my answers. I'm praying over in the corner. Take a stop before the Lord, help me. Help me get through this. Because the company comes down on you. I want you to know. If you don't pass here in this, you're in the office with a guy who says, why didn't you get that done? Why wasn't that covered? And and so, faith. Faith, your faith's going to be tested. No matter what you're going through. And you got to say, Lord, increase my faith. Because Jesus and his disciples, he would say, oh, you little faith. Peter could walk on the water in that situation, but he took his eyes off of Jesus. Just for a moment, and he starts to sink. And that's what gets us in trouble when we're walking in faith and growing in our personal life, in our church life. We take our eyes off Jesus just for a little bit, and you'll start to sink. Start to sink. Lord, increase my faith. I call that sermon fresh faith. Maybe you just need some fresh faith this morning. Maybe you just need a fresh start this morning. It's always good to have something fresh, isn't it? Isn't it good it's getting sunny now in Indiana? Isn't it good that you smell some fresh lilacs or some kind of flowers out there? Isn't that a sweet aroma when spring is coming? And so, you know what? Sometimes you just need a fresh start in your faith, a fresh walk again, a fresh look. So you know what? When I go through the trials, that's just what I'm supposed to do. And Lord, you're going through them with me. And sometimes you face a bad king or a bad situation that can have a lot of fury. Keep your heart on Jesus. Keep your faith in him. Starve your doubts. Live in victory. Maybe somebody this morning has never had saving faith. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Today's a day. Today's a day. Maybe you've lived in sin for a while and you're tired and disgusted. And I'm telling you what, when you start living in sin and not following Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you just get tired and disgusted. You need to look at Jesus, your author and finisher of your faith. Maybe you've been backslidden. Maybe you've kept your eyes off the Lord long enough just to go backward. Maybe you're in a stalemate place. You're not going backward. You're not going forward. You're just stalemated. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not growing, you're dying. Amen? If you're not growing, you're dying. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Travis, won't you come play something? Where are you at this morning?